And now here is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Sunday evening. Nice to have the rain the other day. I hope it watered your garden as it did mine. Anyway, we also hope you can spare us an hour of your very valuable time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So now's the time to participate right now. So give us a call, please. We have two different phone numbers. That's 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we still have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. This is a great time to call in, honestly. Call in as early as you can during the show, unless you're waiting to have us ask a question and then call in, but I understand that. But call in soon if you have a question of your own, and we'll get you on, I promise. 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one, so that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We don't read them generally during the show, but they all get read, and it's always great to hear from our listeners out there with a comment or a question or a correction. I get a lot of corrections. And also, if you'd like to hear the live stream, it's going on right now, of course, and that is at kalw.org. Again, kalw.org. And of course, if you'd like to hear the podcast after our show tonight, and who wouldn't? That will be at kalw.org as well, after it's put up by Debbie. And, of course, it'll be in a lot of other places, but start with KALW. They like to have you do that, I'm sure. All right. All that being said, I will say hello to my fellow panelists who are appearing courtesy of Zoom. Hello, panelists.
Hello.
Hello.
All right.
Hello.
And we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. So here's the first. Thoughtfully done in Spanish. ¿Dónde está Carapaz? Carapaz está a la biblioteca.
Not really. Carapaz estoy en casa, as always.
Oh, so is this your sixth grade Spanish then at work?
Yeah, well, it's ninth grade for me, but it was. That's one of the first sentences I learned.
Okay, there you go.
I learned the same in French, so we can talk. We can chat.
I took French in sixth grade. Yeah, I don't remember very much of it. So
you're advanced.
Yeah.
So Lori Fisher happily celebrated the fourth night of Hanukkah tonight, but then wasn't sure if it was the fourth, 14th, or 24th night of Hanukkah. It might not really matter. Whatever the case, it was a night of giving socks.
Yes.
It was.
Happy Hanukkah out there.
Thank you. Yes. To you too, happy and to Kira as well.
Yeah. Do you know I've actually already received some socks this year?
Oh,
like that is legit.
Well, everybody gets them. Usually they're midweek. You know, in our family, it was when there's no more presents to give you socks and underwear. So,
yeah. As Hanukkah Harry would say, six pair. Can you believe it?
And this Monday should complete the list of colleges where our soon to be ex president was not on the dean's list.
Yeah, that's right. A perfect record.
Yes.
All right. All that being said, we will start with Carapaz.
All right. I'm going to do my list question early, but it has a lead-in question, a topical lead-in question.
But if we get the lead-in question wrong, will that affect the list question?
Only your soul, I guess.
All right. Okay.
Only how you feel about yourself.
Right. During Hanukkah, our souls feel very good.
So the Zodiac Killer's 340 cipher from 1969.
Nice segue.
That's professional work right there.
All right, go ahead.
So anyway, it was recently cracked, and in the decoded message, one word was misspelled three times. What was that word, and how was it misspelled?
Wow. Was it a homonym? Was it a misspelling of a homonym? No, just a regular word, like architecture or something like that?
Yep.
Is it a commonly misspelled word?
I've never seen it misspelled like this before.
Okay.
Ralph Grandom used to say homonym, 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 homonym.
It might be misspelled this way in like Vegas as part of a wacky advertising scheme. But.
So I don't know what word it is, but let me just ask this question. Does the word have something to do with the code that was broken?
It was in it. It's just the Zodiac Killer doesn't know how to spell it, I guess.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like meta or anything. It's not about the code itself. It's just a word that he used three times and he misspelled it the same way three times. I guess he misspelled it in other of his notes or others of his notes.
Okay.
Is it a particularly significant word in the decoding, or is it more of an everyday word?
No, it's fairly significant. Mm. I mean, it's not like it's going to tell you who he is, obviously, or they would have caught him by now. But no, it's significant to his worldview, I suppose.
All right. So it's not killed with one L or something like that.
No, okay. No, it's not called. Okay, so that was the leading question. Here's my list for you, so get ready to write.
Right.
So Reader's Digest recently released a list of the 20 hardest words to spell in the English language. I'm going to give you 8 of them. You tell me the correct spelling. So you can each have 2 if you want them.
The most surprising thing about this is that you actually looked at a Reader's Digest.
I did not look at a full Reader's Digest.
Okay, there you go.
I just looked at this list and some jokes, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Like Playboy. Go ahead.
And I wasn't aware that Reader's Digest had stereo instructions or reviews. Anyway, here are 8 words for you to maybe spell correctly. The first one is nauseous. Next, liquefy. The third is playwright. The fourth is fuchsia. Number 5 is ingenious. 6 is sacrilegious. 7 is paraphernalia. And 8 is onomatopoeia. So I will run through these quickly one more time. Nauseous, liquefy, playwright, fuchsia, ingenious, sacrilegious, paraphernalia, and onomatopoeia.
Let me just take liquefy for now, and then I'll be done with it for a little while. Which is L-I-Q-U-I-F-Y.
Incorrect.
Oh, is that really incorrect?
That's the incorrect spelling.
I-F-Y. Is that incorrect? Huh.
Wow. Well, I'm not sure of many of them. Playwright, I'll take. I think it's the word play with W-R-I-G-H-T at the end of it.
That is correct. Most people want to, or a lot of people want to spell it W-R-I-T-E, and that's incorrect.
It comes from the trades, right?
I guess you better go over the list once more because you're
sure.
If you want
to. The ones that are left are nauseous, liquefy, fuchsia, ingenious, sacrilegious, paraphernalia, and onomatopoeia.
So
Dana, you want another one?
I don't know. I'm disheartened by the fact that I misspelled liquefy.
Sorry, I saw sacrilegious on there, and I'm like, oh well, I get that one wrong all the time.
I do too.
Well,
all
fuchsia,
the times I talk about sacrilegious.
I think
stuff.
Fuchsia is F U C H S I A.
That is correct.
All right, there you go.
For Leonard Fuchs, fuchsia.
Did you get another one each?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll give nauseous a try. I think it's N-A-U-S-E-O-U-S.
That is correct.
All right.
Nauseous, S-E-O-U-S.
Yeah.
All right. Dana, you get the rest.
Oh, it's I'll let the audience
try liquefy again.
Yeah. Gosh, I wonder what that's interesting.
I don't know. I had it the same way as you did. I didn't even
You had the common misspelling, Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did it exactly the way that most people would.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate when I hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah. Okay, leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from San Leandro.
Hi, Colette.
And who said art is anything you can get away with?
Nice. Sounds like W.C. Fields.
Boy, that could be.
Who said it?
Art is anything you can get away with. How about Andy Warhol?
Yes.
Oh,
that's nice. Good.
That was a lucky guess.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. All right, Laura, you go ahead.
All right, well, I have revised my Hanukkah question. I had one, but I have another one now, and it's this. It has to do, I noticed, without comment, that President Trump had a Hanukkah celebration in the White House, and I did a little research. So I have 3 presidential Hanukkah questions. Number 1, who was the first president, and these are all while they were president, to acknowledge that Hanukkah was a thing, was an actual holiday? Who was the first president to participate in a menorah lighting? and it did not take place in the White House? And then who is the first president to actually light a menorah in the White House in the Oval Office? So my question is, which was the first president to acknowledge publicly that Hanukkah was an actual celebratory event? Who was the first president to participate in any kind of menorah lighting and it did not take place in the White House? And who is the first to light a menorah in the actual White House, kind of what they do now? Give you one each, and then we'd leave out one for the
audience. Is Theodore Roosevelt one of these answers?
Theodore Roosevelt is none of the answers.
Okay. All right.
Is Reagan the first one to do it in the White House?
Say it again?
Reagan the first one to do it in the White House?
No.
Okay.
He might have done something, but it wouldn't have been in the Oval Office.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I guess that's a clue, meaning that the answer to that one is after Reagan.
Is it?
Not saying.
All right. Well, yeah. How about Clinton then?
For which one?
For the first one to celebrate Hanukkah in the White House?
Yes.
All right.
In 1993, Clinton was the first one to have a children into the Oval Office and light the menorah there. Very good.
All right. Okay. So repeat what you have left, please.
We have left is, who was the first president of the United States to acknowledge that Hanukkah was an event? And who was the first president to celebrate the lighting of menorah? And so it wasn't in the White House. This person went outside the White House to celebrate it someplace else.
Okay. All right.
And it's not Reagan or Theodore Roosevelt.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Zeed. How are you?
Good.
So happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Thank you.
And
thank
my
you.
Question, my first question is about Hanukkah. Who are the Maccabees? Or Maccabees. Who are they?
Well, I will leave that to my fellow panelists.
We must know the history of that incident. It's a beautiful incident. Who are they?
I know a story. They were a Jewish family, right? I mean,
Jewish family?
That,
okay.
Jewish, yeah. You know.
Do you know their name? There were five brothers. Well, give me the older one.
There was Judah.
Judas.
He's the famous one.
Uh-oh.
Not Judah.
All right. Well, the older one.
There's always a
and
black
Jonathan
sheep
Jonathan was
someplace.
The youngest one. So let's leave the rest, the Shlomo. Other, the list for the audience.
All right.
You know, it's just okay. Beautiful. But does anybody know the story? How did what happened? What happened?
Do you want the traditional story that they went into the temple, which has been desecrated? And they found they thought there was enough oil to keep the the lamp lit for one night, and it was a miracle that it lasted for eight. That's a traditional story.
They had enough oil for one night, but it lasted. Yeah, you know, everybody should know that the Bible is really our history, you know, whether it's the old or the new. Okay, sure. My second question, which is ridiculous. 4 out of 10 American, I'm sorry, I'll give you the answer before. Well, believe it or not, 4 out of 10 American believe that the sun go around Earth. Would you believe that?
Yes.
You believe that?
Now, yes, I would believe that.
Now, everybody explain why do we have such division in this country. It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful country. But people get lied to and believe it. Okay, so I'll give a second question. The death toll in the United States as of today is almost, what, 300,000? Close to it? It's 290. How many people died in Egypt from COVID-19 as of this morning? How many you think? Because they do try. They did try. Immediate lockdown, constant cleaning of the streets, airports, everything getting sanitized.
200.
How many people died as of today from COVID-19?
200.
Well, more than that.
2,000?
6,800 and some. So under 7,000. Really what happened to this country is just unbelievable. It didn't need to be. And it's a terrorizing thing. It's very dangerous. Extremely. I don't know. What is the deadliest virus, by the way, that goes around us every day? Do you know which one? I'll give you a hint. Animals.
Oh, what? Rabies?
Rabies it is. 100% death. Only one case. Now, the sad part is viruses mutate all the time. So anytime rabies could become airborne, and that would be the doomsday virus. One very close is the
You're talking over
virus.
My bell.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, it's very good to talk to you. Happy
Thank you. Happy Hanukkah to you, too.
Sure. You take care.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're having a lovely holiday season. We also hope you can spend the rest of the hour with us. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Please call as soon as you can if you have a question in mind or I'd like to answer one of ours. Just to remind you, our panelists tonight, technical editor Akira Pace, from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher, although he hasn't probably been inside Diablo Valley College for quite a while. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Okay, my turn, finally. And all right, let me give you a couple of inaugural questions. Of course, it looks like our so terribly well-mannered current president will not show up at the inauguration. Who was the first president not to show up at his successor's inauguration? Quite a well-known president, too, I may add. Who was the first president not to show up at his successor's inauguration? And who was the last president not to show up at his successor's inauguration? And there are, I should say that overall there are five instances, and obviously we're leaving out presidents who died, of a president not showing up at his successor's inauguration. So who was the first one not to show up, and who was the last one not to show up at his successor's inauguration?
Are the reasons for illness or out of more or less pique and protest?
Pique and in at least in the first instance, pique and protest. In the last instance, not illness. Closer to peak. Yeah.
Closer to peak than than pneumonia.
Okay. Right.
Wow. Were they in the 20th century?
The last one is, not the first one.
All right. Is it, are either, are any of, is the second one in your lifetime?
Yes, in all of our lifetimes.
In Curis? Whoa.
Yes. She's about 75, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
She looks great, by the way.
Yeah. No. Yes. It's all of our lifetimes, I believe. I think, maybe.
Huh. Well, that's a really good question, then.
All right. Well.
So, Kira, name all the inaugurations in your lifetime.
Yeah. All right. There
it's,
you go.
It's one of them.
Okay. So, just once more, who was the first president not to show up at his successor's inauguration? And who was the last president not to show up at his successor's inauguration?
Oh, how about Nixon not showing up for Forbes?
That is the last president. Yes. Nixon took off on Marine One before Ford was inaugurated.
That's right.
That's the last one. Right. The first one is quite a well-known figure in American history. All right. My second question. I'm going to give you a list of seven actors.
Not in my lifetime, by the way. So.
Oh, that is not in your lifetime? I'm sorry.
Darn. Is that true? Show us your birth certificate.
Yeah. Okay. It's the blue, the blue hair that throws me off. I associate that with old ladies somehow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Just kidding. So I'm going to give you a list of seven actors, seven actors. And they all starred in a detective TV show with one-word titles, and the titles were all the names of their characters. So, in other words, these seven actors all starred as in detective TV shows in which the one-word title was the name of their character. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, here are the seven actors. Number one, Richard Widmark. Number two, Robert Forster. Number three, Jack Palance. Number four, Lorne Greene. Bonanza was not his name. Number five, Mike Connors. Number six, Ray Milland. And number seven, James Earl Jones. So again, seven actors who starred in detective TV shows in which their character name, one-word character name, was the title of the show. So number one, Richard Widmark. Number two, Robert Forster. Number three, Jack Palance. Number four, Lorne Greene. Number five, Mike Connors. Number six, Ray Milland. And number seven, James Earl Jones. I'm sure you two are about arm wrestling right about now for Mike Connors. So Go ahead.
That's the one I know. Carrie, you know that?
No. Take it.
Okay.
Oh, it's Mannix.
Okay.
There right. you go. Maybe right. if she were a little older, she would know that.
Yeah, teaser about her age.
Yeah. I think like half these people were dead by the time I was born. I'm afraid I have nobody for this. Yeah. I have nobody.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Oh, well.
That's okay.
I almost know one other, but I think we should leave the other six out for our audience. They'll pick these up.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Mind Over Matter.
Hey, Dana. It's Megan in San Francisco.
Hi, Megan. You're moving up. You're moving up in the list. You're going to be before Eid pretty soon.
I'm learning my lesson.
All right. There you go.
Little lines open.
He's going to be mad at you if you get before him. All right.
I like the competition.
Plenty of airtime for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see. Go ahead.
On one guess for you, on the first president to recognize Hanukkah, was that Truman?
It was Truman.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Good job.
And it was David Ben-Gurion presented him with a menorah, a White House visit. And so he was sort of forced to, after kind of denying it for the first two or three years of his presidency. Yeah. Very nice, Megan.
Good job.
Oh, great. Good for me. And then one question for you guys. You may have seen, the UNESCO World Heritage nominations for 2020 were postponed due to COVID. And then recently, I think just this week, the government of Ukraine has nominated Chernobyl to be a World Heritage Site the next time it comes up for conversation. So I have a World Heritage Site question for you. What is the country with the highest percentage of its area on the World Heritage List?
Vatican City.
Ah, it's an easy one. You got it.
Nice.
It's sure. over 100%.
Oh, yeah, it's because it's got an exclave over in Rome.
Oh.
Yep. Right. You got it, Kira.
Wow. Over 100%. That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Megan.
Awesome. Have a good night, guys.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Fran. How are you?
Hi, Fran. Good.
Fran.
Hi. Hi, Kira.
Hi.
I called in early and it works.
Okay,
yeah, simple questions for you.
All right.
I love those.
Yeah. What Beatles song was the song that was done the most times by other artists? Yes, go ahead.
It's Yesterday, right?
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Is it Something?
Oh, that's good.
No. This is from a list that I had from a couple years ago, but
it's not going to change.
Sorry.
Wow, I would have thought Yesterday. Too.
I mean, it's so heavily covered.
Yeah. I know.
Is it a ballad?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's got one word.
All right. Debbie suggested Michelle.
Yes, it's correct.
Oh, good job, Michelle. Debbie.
Way to go, Debbie.
Okay.
Good question.
On the Beatles again here. What letter of the alphabet is used most in a beginning Beatles song? What letter of the alphabet?
I would guess I.
You're correct.
Good.
It's I, and sometimes don't forget the word I is also. My last question is, can you name the three Bee Gees?
Barry.
Robin.
And Morris, right?
Yes, correct. Oh, do you happen to know the other brother? Who's
Andy.
Yeah. Well, okay. Everybody, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Hanukkah revival.
Peace on Earth. Bye.
Bye.
There's a new documentary about the Bee Gees on HBO, so we're getting kind of pushed there. Yeah.
Kira, I think it's your turn.
All right. This one's a little long, but okay. So in addition to directing movies like Alien and Blade Runner and Gladiator, Ridley Scott has done some commercial work. One of his commercials directed for a British product in 1973 frequently tops the list in the UK for best classical commercial or classic commercial. And then a different commercial directed for an American product in 1983, frequently tops the lists in the U.S. for best commercial ever. So basically, Ridley Scott has directed the U.K.'s favorite commercial and the U.S.'s favorite commercial, but there's two different commercials for two different products. So what I want to know, what are these commercials for?
One
what
is the these? 1984, the athlete running through, breaking the screen and throwing something, you know, the black and white commercial for, is that Apple?
Yeah. It is for Apple,
for the,
yes.
For the Macintosh.
Yeah, right. And it's called 1984. That's the name of the commercial.
Right.
And by the way, do you know how many times that was broadcast?
Once.
They paid so much.
Not many.
Was that once?
Nationally broadcast one time during the Super Bowl, and it was broadcast a second time. Actually, the first time it was broadcast, it was just a regional broadcast in Idaho on like December 31st, 1983, so that they would be eligible for the Juno, or not the Juno, the Clio in 1984. But yes, all that for basically one airing. So that's correct. So the British one, do you happen to know the British product?
No, I do not.
Is it another high-tech product?
It is not. It is very, it's the opposite of
Is it a food product, by any chance?
It is a food product, yes.
Okay. So some sort of beloved British food product?
It's a beloved commercial. I'm not sure how.
Is it a, is it a breakfast food?
It could be.
Okay. Well, you know.
It's an all-day food, but I would require the brand name.
You know,
so.
The British eat for breakfast is has a wide range. Okay, leave that out. Leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
I got two old business things.
All right.
You got a call in from a guy saying that Thanksgiving was not a holy day. But that's answered by saying, well, who are we giving thanks to?
All right. Fair enough. I don't remember who called in, but
I know. Like I said, it was old business.
Okay.
And the other was last week, somebody identified
Mary Magdalene?
Yeah, Mary Magdalene as a prostitute. And that was not her at the well. She was a friend of Mary, his mother, and never was associated with the well.
Well, just a small correction on that. The word I asked the word that has basically fallen out of use for the most part, Magdalene, and I asked what it meant, and it actually means a reformed prostitute, it did mean a reformed prostitute when it was in more common use. So nothing was intended by that other than to ask what the word had meant at one time.
Okay. Now, I was thinking of some of the spelling words, and it reminded me of the seventh grade too much. We had a teacher for all classes that loved to give spelling tests for every subject. You name it, you got to write a spelling test.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this one, it's sort of a circle. They'll lead back to the first one, and there's several questions. The first is with Tarzan. How is Tarzan related to Yancey Derringer, the TV show? How is Yancey Derringer related to Hooper, the movie? How is Hooper, the movie, related to Smokey and the Bandits? How is Smokey and the Bandits related to, of course, the Flying Nun, and how is the Flying Nun related to Tarzan?
All right. Well, I can do from Hooper on.
All right, go ahead.
I can too. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Hooper, Smokey and the Bandit, that is Burt Reynolds. Smokey and the Bandit to Flying Nun is Sally Field. I can't do Tarzan. I'm sorry.
Well, Tarzan, let's see. Let me think about this.
Wait, so is it the Flying Nun to Tarzan? Is that one we're missing?
It's
one of the actors that played Tarzan who was in Yancey Derringer. I'm trying to remember which one it is. It's not Gordon Scott. It's Oh, gosh. It's a stuntman. It was a guy who was a stuntman.
Yes.
And, oh, boy.
How is he related to Sally Field?
Oh, yeah, right.
Stuntman?
Yeah.
Her father.
Yeah, is that it? Could be.
Stepfather.
Stepfather. Okay.
Stepfather.
Right.
Close enough.
That's right. I kind of remember that. She mentioned Yancey Derringer once in an interview.
And how is Yancey Derringer related to Hooper?
Well, that guy was in, wasn't, didn't he play one of the stuntmen in Hooper?
Yeah. That must
well,
be.
Well, it was his last stunt, and he did it paralyzed from the shoulders down.
Wow.
Jacques Mahoney.
Oh, right, Jacques
Mahoney. All the way back. And he, when he did Hooper, he played the part in a wheelchair that got knocked off the wall into the river, and they had a lot of people there to catch him. And that was his last stunt.
And Jacques Mahoney was also in some Three Stooges shorts as well.
Yeah. But he was Sally Field's stepfather.
Right.
And she loved the devil out of him for everything he did for her.
Right. All right. Well,
all right.
Thank
you. All the way around.
Thank you very much for your questions.
So,
appreciate it.
So Jacques Mahoney is Sally Field's stepfather?
Yeah.
Is that the
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. So this is a, they announced Time's Person of the Year this year. It was Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So this is related to that. I was looking at the recent years. So it's in the last 21 years. So going back to 1999, two of the people who were Person of the Year were under the age of 30. One of the persons was a United States mayor. And two of the people started businesses, and that's how they ended up as Time's Person of the Year. So I'm looking for the two people who are under 30. This is all since 1999. The one person who was a United States mayor, and two who started businesses.
Well, wasn't Greta Thunberg one of them?
She was last year.
Yeah.
Very nice. Give yourself a bell on that. All right. I'll give you one or two more.
Was Malala the other?
She's not.
Okay.
She's not Person of the Year. It's a good guess.
Right. One of them was a mayor. Is that what you said?
Correct. One of them's a United States mayor. And one of them is under 30, and two of them started businesses.
Lori Lightfoot?
No.
That's a good guess.
Another good guess.
Was Steve Jobs one of the ones?
No. Maybe he might have been, but it would have been before that, I think. And he wasn't.
Debbie suggested the mayor of Stockton, though. I can't remember what his name was or what it was.
Not the mayor of Stockton.
Okay. Okay, leave it out.
Okay. So just to repeat, Time's Person of the Year was announced this week, and I was looking over the last 21 years because somebody gets in under that. We're looking for two people under the age of 30, and one of them was Greta Thunberg. We're looking for one United States mayor, and we're looking for two who started businesses, and that's how they ended up there.
All right. Let's repeat. Other than that, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, I'll start with you.
Sure. What about Zuckerberg then?
Yes.
Okay.
Which category is he?
Business.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Very nice.
There you go.
All right. So Reader's Digest recently released a list of the 20 hardest words to spell in the English language. So I have five left looking for the correct spellings, and they are liquefy, ingenious, sacrilegious, paraphernalia, and onomatopoeia. The Zodiac Killer's 340
Wait a minute,
cipher.
I'm sorry. You went through the list a little. Debbie and I were talking. Go do it again. Will you please?
Well, pay attention.
Yeah, I haven't
written okay.
All
so the list of words to spell.
I feel like I'm teaching again. Yeah.
Are liquefy, ingenious, right. Sacrilegious, paraphernalia, and onomatopoeia. The Zodiac Killer's 340 cipher from 1969, which was recently cracked, showed that the Zodiac Killer misspelled one word. They're the same word three separate times. What was that word and how did he misspell it? Assuming a he. I should say they. How did they misspell it? There we go.
Nice.
So basically looking for the 1973 commercial directed by Ridley Scott that is frequently voted favorite classic commercial in the United Kingdom. So that's what I have.
All right.
I am looking, this is a presidential Hanukkah question. I am looking for the first president who celebrated the lighting of menorah. And this
is that, go ahead. Is it Carter?
It is.
It seems so Carter-y.
It is. He went across the street to Lafayette Park where there was a lighting and he participated in that. So very good on that one. And then my other is the Time Person of the Year. I'm looking for one other person who's under the age of 30, one other person who started a business, and one United States mayor. All have been Times Person of the Year in 1999 or later.
All right.
That's it.
And I gave you a list of seven actors who had all starred in detective shows with in which their character was the entire title. So it's a one-word title in which their character name and their character name is the title. So the actors are Richard Widmark, Robert Forster, Jack Palance, Lauren Green, Mike Connors, Ray Milland, and James Earl Jones. Again, they were all in TV shows, detective TV shows, in which their character name was the title. Yes, anybody want to take another guess on that? I'll give you another guess.
Well, the Robert Forster one, I know, and I can picture he drove a motorcycle and he wore a little stocking cap and he ended up in Breaking Bad, but somebody will get it before I will.
No, you got the wrong.
You're not, the wrong show?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Richard Widmark on one of those Dragnet-related shows?
Well, kind of, sort
same
of.
Same production company, maybe?
That I don't know. Okay. Yeah, it was a pretty good show. It was only on for a year. But yeah, no. Before your time.
And they're all just one-word titles.
They're like all one-word titles. The one word is the name of the character.
Yeah,
yeah, like, right.
Who was Ironsides? Which one was
Raymond Burr?
Raymond Burr. Yeah. Right. Okay. Right. Sorry, I was getting stuck on Ray Milland because of the Ray.
Yeah.
And let's see. Yes. So I'm also looking for the first president not to show up at his successor's inauguration. It's quite a famous person. And the we already got the last president not to show up, and that was Richard Nixon in 1974. So yes, John, just looking for the first person now. I'm gonna try one of your words, Kira.
I wish you would.
All right, and I hope this isn't the wrong spelling. Ingenious is INGENIOUS.
That is correct.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. I'm still puzzled by liquefy being wrong.
But me too.
That's c'est la vie. Okay, I think it's my turn anyway. So, all right, I have four words that are invented by 20th century authors, and there are three Americans and one British. So these are four words, well-known words, well, sort of well-known, that are invented by 20th century authors. So the first is tween, T-W-E-E-N, tween. Number two is unputdownable. Number three is pie hole. And number four is dreamscape. So again, these are words invented by 20th century authors. Nothing really old here. The first is tween. Number two is unputdownable. Number three is pie hole. And number four is dreamscape.
Are any of them more like comedians who wrote books or kind of columnists?
They're all serious writers.
Yeah.
I've heard unputdownable before too, and that one's pretty.
That's American.
Like that's American. I think maybe even like 1980s.
No, before that, but a real American. Well, okay, I may have. It's an American writer who was originally born in the UK, but very very much identifies as an American writer.
And is it is unputdownable like in the 20s or 30s? It
sounds Algonquin. I'd say the 40s.
40s, okay. Yeah. Born in Britain, raised in the UK.
Yeah.
And are any of them better known as humorous in the Robert Benchley kind of mold?
No, none of them.
Okay,
none of them are humorous.
Tween, yeah. All right. I don't know any of them.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So once more, the words, these are words invented by famous 20th century authors. Three are, two are American. One is basically American but born in the UK, and the other is a UK author. So the words are tween, unputdownable, pie hole, and dreamscape.
What about Pie Hole as Joyce? Oh, wait, no, you said British. Sorry, my bad.
That's an American. That's the most American of them all, if I had to say.
Okay.
So, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Bougainvillea and poinsettia are also named after people, mm-hmm. but they didn't get colors also. Poinsettia goes down as known as being the Robert Goulet of botany. I knew Kira wouldn't last. That she's not old enough to know who Robert Goulet is.
I know who Robert Goulet is.
There you go.
Oh, she does not. He played
Mannix.
That was
a line from a play, by the way. Robert Goulet. Okay. Now I want to. I've got a few things. To do. This is going to be great. I love this show, by the way. It's the highlight of my week, for what that's worth.
Nice. It's not limerick writing.
Well, I have no one else to share with. Here
one,
we go.
One can only imagine what the rest of your week is like.
Yeah, really.
Go ahead.
Remember, I think last week I said daily double is not really daily because they do it three times. Anyway, right. I've got a few doubles here. Okay, starting with. Remember this retracing my history with this show. Happenstance, remember you mentioned that?
I did.
You're right.
You did.
What I did. It's is true fact.
Happenstance, double each letter is repeated. But yep. What is unique about those two words, happen, or no, it was happen chance. Happen and chance, by the way, those two words are also synonyms. I happened to cross that. I chanced to meet you.
All right.
They're synonyms, by the way. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Oh, and remember we did body types a few weeks ago? You just mentioned Norton and Cramden and Abbott and Costello.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of another double.
Wait a minute. We haven't even gotten to the question, Jay, have we?
Huh?
Wait
There's no question. There's no question.
Are these part of the question?
Just strolled down memory lane.
All right. Okay. I just wondered.
To review
it's a little bit of memory. But because I'm thinking probably people emailed these ones. Remember, people did email other doubles of this big, small body pairing. The other one, Star Wars, of course, R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Right.
And, okay, so now let's get to something. Here's an interesting question I've got, okay? The word, do you know, the word Geist, do you know what that means?
Geist. Yeah, like Poltergeist? Ghost
yes.
In German? Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
but it's also a unique word in that Geist is also the root of two other words that are antonyms.
Mm.
Very interesting. It is the root of two words that are antonyms.
And ghost isn't one of them, right?
No.
Okay, so two other words.
And you're not talking about what it's part of, like zeitgeist or something like that?
No. Right. Zeitgeist, no. Think of two other words commonly used, and they're antonyms, but they're both rooted in Geist.
Mm.
It is the only word I know like this.
I don't know.
What does Geist sound like?
Geist. Yeah, it's, I mean, Gust. It sounds like ghost.
Or Gust.
Guys.
Change the vowel.
Guest?
Yes. And what's the opposite of guest?
Vacancy?
intruder?
Be my... The guest has a what? Host.
Oh, okay.
Guest and host are both... come from Geist.
Mm, that's cool.
Isn't that nice. Interesting?
Yeah.
Those antonyms come from Geist. Okay, here's the last thing I want to mention, okay? What tragedy started on April 14th and ended the next day?
The Titanic going down?
And?
And the Lincoln assassination.
Yes! Don't go out that night. Yeah. Stay home on April 14th, on the evening of it. Isn't that an amazing coincidence?
Do your taxes instead.
Yeah.
The assassination, I mean, John Wilkes Booth, he shot him on the 14th. He died on the 15th.
Right.
Titanic hit the iceberg on the 14th, sank on the 15th. Beware the midnight between 14 and 15.
All right. Thank you very much.
Great show.
All right, thanks. Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Bill in El Cerrito.
Hi, Bill.
All right, let's see. Let's give some of these words a shot. I think the error for liquefy is that the second vowel is actually an E and not an I.
Or, right, sorry, third vowel, because there's a U, but that is correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
It's L-I-Q-U-E-F-Y, liquefy.
Yeah, and sacrilegious, I think, follows the same sort of rule. It's S-A-C-R-I-L-E-G-I-O-U-S, right?
That is correct, and it's that I that people have a problem with, self-included.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to write some of these out like twice or three times to see which one struck me as correct. And paraphernalia, I think, is as it sounds. It's, I believe it's P-A-R-A-P-H-E-R-N-A-L-I-A.
Which is correct. Yes, a lot of people don't hear the R and they drop it. So
yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah, okay. And I believe the Zodiac's misspelled word was paradise.
That is correct. Do you know how he spelled it or they spelled it?
I think he spelled it P-A-R-A-D-I-C-E.
And how did you
That's
know
correct.
All this?
Because I read the story.
Okay. Wait, that's cheating.
All right.
And I read the decoded cipher. So
there you go.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to take a guess at the first president to miss his successor's inauguration. Was that Andrew Johnson?
Well, you're kind of right and you're kind of not right. Andrew Johnson is one of the five presidents who missed their successor's inauguration. He did it in a fit of pique. He decided to have a cabinet meeting at the same time that Grant was being sworn in. So, yes, he missed it on purpose. So
okay, but he was but
he wasn't the first. No, he wasn't the first.
Oh, okay. Wow, goes back before that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kira, Ridley Scott's commercial in Britain, was that for a dog food?
No, it is not.
No. Okay. I was just thinking back to when you said it was a food product and you wouldn't say what it was. I was thinking back to a Cleo's thing that I saw years ago, and there was a big thing. One of the winners was a dog food commercial, and it was stupendous.
Are you thinking of the one that was directed by, Stan Freeberg? It's the one with the, right? Didn't he do that one? Maybe he did that one.
Well, that's possible.
This is the one where there's these hundreds of dogs bounding through fields and over fences and through the woods, and it's all in slow-mo, and it's, and they're all rushing home for dinner. Is that the one you're thinking of?
No, not at all.
No, okay. I mean, this is probably, this must date back at least 20 years. So I don't know what the Ridley Scott one was. And then one last guess for Pie Hole.
Yes.
Was that Mickey Spillane?
Well, it's definitely an American writer, but it's not Mickey Spillane, no.
Okay. Okay. I'm done.
All right.
Have a great one, you guys.
All right. Thank you. And I will say that my favorite, although nobody asked, my favorite commercial of all time is the Jack in the Box lesbian commercial that only showed once or twice on TV. Is anybody aware of that commercial by any chance?
I don't know.
Yeah. You mean the one, it's only like 10 years ago or something like that?
10 years ago. It's like 25 years ago now. 20 years ago.
Oh, then it's not the same one.
Before your time.
Sorry.
Stop. Yes. Anyway, it's on YouTube if everybody
and that's how you search for it?
Yes. Jack in the Box lesbian. Yes.
Yeah,
that's definitely the
way. That's how you search for it.
That's how I search for it. That's how I search for a lot of things.
Is Pie Hole Hemingway?
It is not Hemingway.
Okay.
And it's not a Nobel Prize winner, I'll tell you.
It's a nice short word, so
yeah.
And it's not, oh, it's not a Nobel Prize.
It's not a Nobel Prize winner.
That eliminates a few.
Yeah.
It's a short word that people would shout while fighting. It's so that's what I was thinking.
Right?
Sort of. Okay. And if somebody has a very short question, you go ahead. Otherwise, I'll take some more. Okay, go ahead.
I have a short one you'll get right away. So Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
All right. Thomas Jefferson is credited with coming up with what term regarding foot care? He coined what term?
During his lifetime? He was known for this?
He coined this term. I don't know how he was known for
it. Had to do for foot care or foot
care? It is for foot care, yeah.
Foot care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It pertains to foot care.
You thought we'd get this right away, huh?
I did.
Is this in some of his papers?
Nail clipper? No. Okay. Bunion removal? foot care.
Suppose.
Yeah. All right, leave it out.
I don't know.
See what happens. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
And I think the first president who didn't show up for the successor's inaugural was John Adams.
John Adams, yes, did not show up. He was mad at Thomas Jefferson. He did not show up.
Yeah. And the previous caller wiped me out for the most part on the spellings. I just have onomatopoeia left. So O-N-O-M-A-T-O, and then it's poiesis, as in poiesis, P-O-E-I-A.
I think you got that right. Sorry, there was some...
O-N-O-M-A-T-O-P-O-E-I-A.
That is correct. Sorry, I didn't hear the beginning part, but that is correct. Okay. Correct spelling, and that is it for spelling words.
Good.
Whew. Nice job.
And I'm going to play my senior citizen card and say that Richard Widmark was Madigan.
Very good. Thank you. Right. Yes, Richard Widmark was Madigan. That.
Good work.
Thank you. My God, did you really have to be a senior citizen to answer that question?
I don't know. It was a long time ago.
What year was it on?
That was about 1970.
But I also was a Richard Widmark fan. So.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
And Dreamscape, this is just a wild guess. It sounds like it could be Ray Bradbury.
It's a woman, actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So I have a question.
Yes.
It's a little sort of NPR game, but I just have one, so it'll be short. Here's two words. They're eight letters each. And one is an anagram of the other. And together they mean cushy political job in doubt.
Cushy political job in doubt?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's two eight-letter words, anagrams of each other, and together they mean that cushy political in doubt thing, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow.
And the anagrams are not difficult. Actually, the last five letters are identical.
Cushy political job in doubt.
Well, what's a cushy political job? Let's think about that. Like
nepotism. You know,
like ambassadorship could be cushy, but that's too many letters.
Yeah, eight
cabinet,
letters. Each.
Not enough.
So you mean cushy political job in the general sense rather than a specific job in mind that has a very
right, yes.
Okay.
It's a kind of job that you just get appointed to and you're paid for, but you don't have to do much.
And it's not unique to Donald Trump. It exists outside of his world?
No, it's a little relevant in the current times, but this is a thing. Yeah.
So it's not like son-in-law, which is letters.
No, it's a general term. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're missing the point.
I think we have a question.
It's one of the words means cushy political job. The other word means in doubt, and they're anagrams of one another. So,
cushy political job in doubt. But the word that describes the cushy political job is a specific. Okay.
It doesn't refer to a specific job.
Okay. It does not refer. Okay. So in a general sense. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we should just start thinking of words that mean in doubt.
Dubious is only a seven letters.
Dubious. That's good.
Nah, it's
only it doesn't need one more letter. Yeah. Dubious.
Dubious. I don't know where we're going to do with this in the next four months.
We could have a lot of dead air here speaking out loud. We need
you better give us a hint or something.
A lifeline.
Yeah.
okay, the last three letters in both words are U-R-E.
So something meaning in doubt that ends in U-R-E.
Irish actress named Mary Ure.
Okay, C-U-R-E.
Oh.
Boy, we should get it down with half the letters.
I know. Yeah.
Something meaning in doubt.
But ending with cure.
Insecure.
Oh, very nice.
There you go. Insecure. You got it.
No.
Lori got it.
We got one of them. All right.
Yeah. You got part of it.
Got part of it.
So you got half of it.
Sinecure?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Insecure, sinecure.
We need a cushy
job. I see.
Is that too
weird? By the way, since we're talking words that end in C-U-R-E, anyone want to answer my Thomas Jefferson foot care question?
Cure.
Cure.
I'll even spot you the e-cure.
Cure.
Pedicure.
Pedicure.
There it is.
There you go.
So Jefferson coined that?
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Let's try to take another call.
Is Dreamscape, Dana, is that the Ursula Le Guin?
No.
I was going to guess.
And next call.
I was with you, Lord.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom. Is Dreamscape Doris Lessing?
It is not.
Okay, is Pie Hole Stephen King?
It is Stephen King, yes.
Oh yay. Yeah. Wow. Stand By Me? Yeah. I thought maybe that pie eating contest.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Ugh. Okay. Unputdownable. You said that was a UK-born American author?
Yeah, yes.
I can only think of Raymond Chandler.
It is Raymond Chandler, yes.
Whoa! Wow. Okay, nice Tween, work. Is that maybe Salinger?
It is not.
Okay. James Earl Jones was Paris.
He was. Paris, yes.
Robert Forster, I know, was Banyan.
Tough as nails, detective. Robert Forster was Banyan. That took place in the 1930s. Yes, he was a private detective.
Yay. And then the Ridley Scott UK, was that maybe for Vimto?
Nope.
No? Coleman's Mustard?
Nope.
Branston Pickle?
Nope.
Weetabix?
Nope.
All right, one more guess.
Marmite?
No.
Marmite?
No.
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Thanks. All right, time to clean up here. Kira, what do you got? Anything?
I think the only thing I have is the Ridley Scott UK commercial, which was for Hovis Bread. It was known as the Boy on a Bike commercial.
Oh.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And
I have Times Person of the Year. So the other business besides Zuckerberg's Facebook was Jeff Bezos and Amazon. The United States mayor, shocking to say, Rudy Giuliani. And the other person besides Greta Thunberg, who was under 30 years old, was also Mark Zuckerberg, who was 26. Huh? He was on the cover.
All right.
And I think that's all I have.
Words invented by 20th century author Tween was invented by J.R.R. Tolkien. That's in The Hobbit. It has to do with the Hobbit's age. And Dreamscape was coined by Sylvia Plath. The actors who starred in detective TV shows, Jack Palance was Bronk. Lauren Green was Griff. Mike Connors, Mannix, of course you got that. Ray Milan was Markham. And I think that's it. Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. and as we will be here next Sunday at 7 p.m. So please, please, please make plans to join us then. My thanks to our panel. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Debbie Kennedy. And thanks to all of you out there for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week. Happy Christmas shopping, however you may do it, and join us next Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.